Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Season Sports with me, Asmir Begovic. As we are in a bit of a lockdown next few days and have been the last few days, getting the pod quite active. So, you know, I just want to give a bit of insight from all different sports worlds to the situation as to what the future might look like, and obviously just get their thoughts and opinions on everything that's going on. I hope you enjoyed my piece with John Cross from the Daily Mirror. Hugely respected man in the world of football. Has been in the game for 20 plus years, and you know, just great to have him on the pod and get his insight on everything. Yeah, just a really cool chat, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. So the next person I'm gonna get on my podcast is Max Whittle. He's a sports presenter, loves his NBA, and we're gonna get his takes on the situation in the NBA right now.
Absolute pleasure to have the one and only Max Whittle joining me now in the Season of Sports. Welcome, Max. It's been a while.
There's surely more than one of me. Surely more than one of me.
No, listen. You are the man. You are the man these days. I'm very happy to have you on the pod. It's been a while. When's the last time? I haven't had you on in a couple of years or so, huh?
It's been a while. I know it's been within the last year because the last one I did with you, I sat on my garden, and I'm still living in the same house, so. But we talked hoops, and a lot has changed since then.
Well, a lot's changed. You know, I'm kind of running and talking to a couple of people now on the podcast and just kind of talking about the situation in the world of sport as it is. And, you know, I wanted to touch base on the NBA with you and touch on this whole coronavirus thing. I mean, have you ever seen anything like it? It's just pretty, it's pretty crazy.
I haven't seen, I don't think anyone has seen anything like this. And obviously I would keep it to sports, as would you. And it's the it's just a disaster, really. And I was listening to loads of shows last week, and every day the news was so fluid and things were changing so quickly that at one point they thought they were still going to be able to talk about March Madness. They still thought they'd be able to talk about the Masters. And slowly but surely, every single event, every single tournament, every single sport was cancelled. And that poses a challenge for the leagues. It poses a challenge for media outlets. What do they talk about now? So, no, we've not seen anything like this before. And obviously, you were in the middle of it all.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it kind of dragged a little bit because in a couple of weeks, you know, I went from playing, and then it went behind closed doors, and then we had a new schedule, and then we played the game behind closed doors. And then a couple of days after that, everything was shut down. So it took a few days, whereas you said in every other sport now, it's just shut down within 48 to 72 hours. I mean, we talked about the NBA playing behind closed doors, I guess, in the empty arenas. And then within a day or so, everything shut down. So I guess I'll take you back to where everything started. The Warriors sort of being the first ones to say they're going to play in an empty arena against the Nets. And then literally within hours or the day after, a couple of players tested positive, and that's in Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz. And then from there, everything got shut down. I mean, what's the current state? I mean, what's the feedback on everything that's happened so far?
Well, what's scary now is that the NBA's latest report is that they're expecting it to be June when they come back. And I think there are three scenarios we're looking at here. You lose the season entirely. You play the postseason with fans and you forget about the rest of the regular season. I think that's something that the NBA has at least benefited in terms of having played quite a lot of games already compared to other leagues that haven't even started yet. And the other scenario is that they do everything behind closed doors. And I don't think the NBA want to do that. They have to look at the financial cost of shutting down the season entirely or losing at least 20 games. So everything's moved so quickly. I know we're switching sports. When I saw that Major League Baseball was saying that their season would start maybe a couple of weeks delayed, which is mid-April, I don't believe that for a second. I think it will be May or June. And the NBA are now saying June, which is when, as you know, the NBA Finals usually begins. They would have to go surely straight into the postseason for that to happen. And if we're looking at this, the coronavirus peaking in mid-May. Think about it. The players have got to get ready for a postseason. They can't just start playing again. There is no together right now. Everyone's in isolation. Everyone's being tested. So this has gone from Rudy Gobert, when he was tested positive, I really believe that if that hadn't have come out, then college basketball would still have gone ahead and played its games behind closed doors. But because of that positive result, they obviously stopped games entirely. And the NBA really was the first sport that really set off the trickle-down effect, and every league responded from then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you say, NBA started, then NHL, MLS, and everyone followed suit. The only sport really that hasn't affected a lot much is the NFL. They're probably going to go ahead as planned. I mean, a couple of the things in the offseason might get changed, but anyway, that's the NFL. Going back to Rudy Gobert, what did you think of his video and his immature acts of touching microphones and being a little bit irresponsible about the whole matter?
Yeah, so I actually only saw this when the positive test came back. I hadn't seen it prior to that, and it's actually really interesting to read what some of the Jazz reporters said after the fact. They actually said at the time when he did that and he was touching microphones and walked out of the press conference, and that was just obviously just after the NBA had said reporters are not allowed into the locker room for now. Reporters took that as Rudy Gobert essentially supporting them, saying, I think it's ridiculous that reporters aren't allowed into the locker room. I'm going to show my support. That's what some reporters translate his behavior as. When I saw it, to be honest, it's obviously hugely irresponsible. And in a way, we could probably thank Rudy Gobert, because without that, I don't know whether the NBA would have carried on for too long. They may have... they may not have suspended it in time, and there might have been a lot more positive test results from players. There's been guys that have played against the Jazz recently that have contracted it, obviously Donovan Mitchell. So it was a stupid act, and he shouldn't have done it. And I don't think he took the virus seriously at all, given what he did. And now he kind of has released this video, which I thought was a bit ridiculous, really, saying, wash your hands for 20 seconds, make sure you stay inside. It's kind of ironic, really, but for people to respond to that and say, look, this guy's the reason the NBA shut down, I don't agree with that either. This was going to happen regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things. I'm sure he would love to take his actions back, but as you say, maybe it's worked out for the better, which is funny to say, but I think everyone's taken the next step, and huge precautions are now being put in place.
I would just jump in again, sorry, Azmi, to say that I don't know what his teammates think now. Obviously, Mitchell tested positive and he's now in quarantine. And this was, as I say, this was going to happen anyway. But I do wonder what his teammates think about his behaviour. Like, why did he have to do that? And some players have obviously, the reports are that some of them say he was irresponsible and immature in the locker room as well. And we aren't privy to that. We don't see any video, but essentially doing the same thing he did in the press conference in the locker room with other people's belongings. So that's another thing to think about if the season ever starts up again.
Yeah, because that's the one thing as well for us. They put the guidelines in place. I mean, pretty quickly the medical staff were on top of this as soon as they could, really. And we treated it seriously, and there was no acts there. I mean, thankfully, as far as I know, no other players on the Jazz have contracted this. So hopefully, yeah, it's damage limitation with only one other player, Donovan Mitchell, catching this. And especially the team they play, the Oklahoma City Thunder, or they were due to play.
Did you have like experts come in and talk to you about it in Milan? Because I wonder whether that would have helped Gobert.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have experts. I mean, our team doctors spoke to us. Our team doctor spoke to us, and they, I guess they were quite well informed on this situation. They were in, and they were giving us daily updates, because I think, as you said earlier, I mean, the situation's ever moving and so fluid that on a daily basis, everything was changing. So we had only had their information, but we assumed they're quite well informed, and why not listen to them when you get that information? So we took it serious right away. And I think on our team, thankfully, nothing really serious has come out, as far as I know, anyway. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, what the teammates think, what the club think. And obviously, he's gone on from there to donate $500,000 to the workers and people and staff in and around and their arena and their club to help with any costs that are being offset. So I think, he's obviously understood that he's made a mistake, and he's paid for it big time.
Well, I just don't think anyone knows what's happening, and I'm really glad, and I'm sure the NBA are, that Adam Silver is in charge here, because he always seems to make the right decision. And you have to consider all of the other fallout here, all the other fallout issues. Like, the arenas aren't just empty for basketball games. The owners are in a crisis, quote unquote. I know they're rich people, because there aren't concerts going on. There's nothing in the arena at all. So this affects future sponsorships and ticket renewals. The owners are really feeling the sting. And what I've read, teams are being told to be prepared to play in different venues other than just their home arenas and expect the season to go into August. So if you've got a postseason going into August, how does that net affect the start of the new season? And the fact that Conan Ryan is not going away anyway, but you look at something like the Qatar World Cup, all the domestic leagues having to shift their schedules, it's going to be the same with this, because the NBA is not finishing in June like it normally would.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Before, I want to get your thoughts on how you see it and how you want it to progress. So far as my information goes, Rudy Gobert, Donovich, and a third player in Christian Wood from the Pistons.
Yes.
Is the only one. So those three guys from the NBA have contracted, as far as we know. So hopefully those numbers stay the same. And then, and as I said, Rudy Gobert has donated $500,000. Kevin Love has donated $100,000. Zion Williamson, $100,000. Blake Griffin, $100,000 to staff of their respective arenas. People who are obviously in shift work, and this money is going to go a long way. So props to these guys for helping out and really, really getting involved. Really, really, really nice of them. I mean, I thought that was a really class act, but
definitely.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. Moving forward, as you mentioned earlier, there's three different scenarios as to what's going to happen and as to what could happen with the season. What would you like to happen?
I think, obviously, every NBA fan and someone who works on this, covers the sport, I'd like to see the games return, but this is different. This is very much, we're following guidelines that don't exist. The best case scenario, if games are to come back, I don't think fans should be there, just because if they're already talking about only essential personnel being at the arenas, if you put 20,000 fans in, and I'm sure they would say they would go. If you asked a fan if they prefer to be at the arena, they'd say yes. And it's a different experience for the players, of course, to win a title and have no fans in the arena. That's completely different. But I hope the games return. It doesn't matter how long it takes. I don't think you can just void a season, particularly because now they've played 60 plus games at this point. Bring the season back when it's okay to do so. If that means cutting next season short, remember the last time there was a lockout, the season started in December, January time, and there was a lot of creation around that shortened season. So I'd like to see the games come back, but there's absolutely no rush, and there's no way that it's going to be 30 days. No way.
Well, I think from an athlete's point of view, yeah, 30 days I think is very incredibly optimistic. But I think from a player and athlete's point of view, I definitely think, and I touched on this in my last podcast, I think it's important from our point of view, we always want to settle everything on the field. We want to settle it on the court. So I think whatever way that can be done and whatever way that can be achieved, as you said, cutting a little bit of the next season, cutting preseason short, all these little things that are side factors, as long as we can settle the season on that court, I think that's the most important thing from our point of view. Because how do you, what you call it, you void the season, you call it a missed season. I think that's very, very difficult. A lot of players and everyone's put a lot of effort into it. There's not so much time you can get back. So I think from my point of view as an NBA fan, I think if we can go straight in the playoffs, and there isn't too many races really to figure out, a little bit of the seeding in a couple of the conferences, but I think most of the playoff teams are set anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, if you just said that postseason starts whenever they think it's safe to return to play, the Wizards are five games back of the eighth seed, the Orlando Magic, so that race is over with. There's like half a get, the Pacers and the Sixers are tied in the standings right now, fifth and sixth, but there aren't that many. You'd obviously say, okay, no Zion in the playoffs. They're 3.5 games back at the moment of Memphis in eighth. Would they make it? Would Carmelo Anthony be able to get into the postseason? The Blazers are 3.5 back as well. The postseason standings are a true reflection on how teams have played this season. For instance, the Sixers, the sixth seed right now, do they deserve to be any higher? Do they deserve to be above the Pacers? No, they've had a terrible year on the road. They're 10-24. They're there for a reason. If you took all the teams outside of the postseason right now, None of them have played well enough. The Lakers are clearly the best team in the West at the moment. The Bucks are clearly the best team in the East. If you said start it today, I think I'd be fine with that. And I'm sure the players would as well, because there's no way, especially for someone like LeBron, who can smell a title. And by the way, this layoff might help him a little bit. He's not going to be comfortable with them just saying, okay, we'll start again next season, because there's no guarantee that next year even happens anyway.
No, and I think that's the thing, right? Because looking at it, all things on the positive side, as long as the medical side of things can get under control, this could be one of the best playoffs ever. Because if you can give LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, some of the best players in the world, a little bit of extra rest, these guys are going to go right at it in the playoffs. And as you said, the last 20 games or so, I mean, especially with the teams in the lead, they're going to manage themselves. I would expect the Lakers to have, quote unquote, load manage a lot of the guys to make sure that they're ready for the postseason. So you probably wouldn't have seen the strongest teams in most of these games anyway. Same for the Bucks. So I think missing those last 20 games isn't the end of the world. And as you say, I mean, we're at this point of time, even if they played every single game, I don't think the standings would drastically change. You know, I think a couple of, you know, whether someone's going to be a fifth or sixth seed, yeah, that kind of stuff can change. But I don't think overall we're going to get any more new teams in. I really, especially like you said, I think it's done in the East. Those eight teams will be in the playoffs, and maybe in the West one can sneak in. But I think on a positive side, if we can get playoffs, and I think we can get fans and the owners and everyone can get the product back to where it is, and if that is medically possible, it could be an epic couple of months of playoff action. What do you think?
Oh, amazing. And I don't want to play doctor here, and I'm not going to do it on your podcast, but what if the postseason was contained in a certain area? So I guess you have to eliminate travel as much as you can, given what's happening at the moment. And I know that they charter, but eliminating travel, would it be better? Would it be worse if you had 16 teams in the same city, or two cities, or three cities, just so you eliminate the travel? Maybe you play in a neutral venue. That's something that they're already talking about. You might have to play in a different arena and a neutral venue. Maybe that's something they can consider, almost putting on a March Madness type tournament where you have it, you know, that's...
I see maybe where you're going with this. Yeah.
Maybe.
That could be really cool, actually. Especially as we're having no March Madness this year. That could be a really cool way of making up for that. Interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't really thought about how they can do that and confine it. You know, like I said, you know, well, you have Los Angeles there anyway. If you can just get everyone to LA and get everyone up, you know, somewhere on the East Coast, and you'll be done with that, right?
I think we have to be open-minded that it's going to be different. And I was actually thinking about this morning. Do legacies change? I don't know why this example popped into my head this morning, but it did. Let's say Lewis Hamilton wins his seventh championship this year in Formula One, and the F1 season is only 10 races long because of what's happened, right? So they've already cancelled the first few. Do people then look back on his career and say, well, that seventh title doesn't count because there were only 10 races? I wonder if the same thing happens with the NBA. Does LeBron's title have less impact because they only played 60-odd regular season games? They only played best of five because they couldn't play best of seven. I don't know how it's going to change, but I just wonder whether people evaluate this differently.
Well, we live in a world of sport where everyone's going to have an opinion. I mean, no matter which way you go with this, people are going to have an opinion one way or another. And for some people, it'll mean more. And for some people, it'll mean less. I mean, we're never going to be able to please everyone and whatever decision they make. I think ultimately they have to make whatever's best in interest for the league and for most of the players. I mean, there's been obviously, as you said, lockout seasons in the past for different sports, you know, for different reasons. And I don't really, personally, I've never thought of, okay, well, that's only worth half a title rather than a full title. So I think overall, I don't think they can take that too much into consideration. I think people will move on and just call it a title as it is, you know. And I think it could be, actually, when you look at it in another point of view, it could be more challenging to do this way, because when you're in rhythm, it's one thing. Now, when you go out of rhythm, as you say, you have to almost restart again. And are things going to be clicking on all cylinders like they were before? So that's another question, I guess, I would ask you. And that would be really tricky for teams, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and also on that restarting phrase, What about the college season just ending now? It's just finished, and scouts typically focus a lot of their attention on, you know, they obviously scout throughout the season, but the March Madness tournament is where players can break out, maybe. Their stock can rise. They're evaluated day to day. College players working out with NBA teams right after this tournament. The G League is going to be cancelled by all reports. So the development process of this is also affected. The filter through is there's so much more than just losing the games, and the money that's lost is how do we build our team? When owners get together now and front offices get together now, what are they talking about? Who are the players that they like the look of? They can't bring them in for a workout. They can't talk to their players about X and Y. Team building is one of the biggest effects.
Well, all we can say is we're going to have an interesting few weeks ahead of us. I think it's very, very safe to say that. Well, I appreciate you joining me here, Max. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sure we'll be in touch. We're in regular touch. We text all the time about the NBA and what's going on in the world of sports. So we'll be very much in touch to see what happens. People can follow you on Twitter at Max_Whittle, on Instagram, Max Whittle. So make sure you guys get everything. And hey, I got to say, congrats on getting on Sky Sports.
Thank you.
I love watching you there. I mean, that was pretty awesome to see you there. You deserve it, man. So got to give you a shout out for that.
No, thank you. I appreciate your friendship, as you know, and Asmir Begovic's season of sports is a challenge right now. I don't know what you're going to talk about.
I know. So that's why I bring people like you on board to try and help me get through these episodes and get some information to everyone out there. But no, it's been a pleasure, man. Really, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Asmir.